Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 27, Jacob had deceived his father, had stolen from his brother Esau, and had lied and deceived. He was called Jacob the supplanter. In fact, I think it's chapter 27, verse 36, Esau said, "Is he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" So Jacob is on the run. At the end of the chapter, Jacob's mom arranges for Jacob to be sent away. And Jacob is sent away to hopefully find a wife. And his mother will never see him again on this earth, because she was really trying to send him away because Esau had threatened to kill him. So Jacob's on the run. And chapter 28, Isaac tells Jacob to go back to where they're from and look for a wife from thence. And by the way, there's a little picture here that we should mention. He says here in verse number, well, 1 through 5, he tells Jacob, you need to find a wife from our kind. And verse 6, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram, Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, see, Esau had married some Canaanite women, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahala, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Naboth, to be his son. So poor Esau, he just couldn't get it. He thought, well, dad and mom don't like my Canaanite wife. I'm going to go find a wife. So I'll find Ishmael. He's kind of connected to Grandpa Abraham, Uncle Ishmael. And that wasn't it. He just couldn't get it. And the picture here, of course, is for us to recognize that our children should not just marry the Canaanites. They should not just marry the neighbors just because they happen to be close. And that's a whole other story. But Jacob went out, in verse 10, from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. That's a tall ladder. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it unto thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Wouldn't you, if you had a dream like that? And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? Now, why would he say that? Well, because he wasn't really right with God. And when you're not right with God, everything's dreadful that is godly. And it's scary. He was scared. He knew that he wasn't quite right with the Lord. How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. The word Bethel means house of God. The name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So we see here an interesting story, and some people have called this the story of Jacob's ladder. We see here, first of all, a man who is a sinner, a man who is certainly not a super godly person, and even if he wants to do the right thing, he uses the wrong methods to do the right thing. Someone said a long time ago, it's never right to do wrong to do right. And Jacob thought, well, you know what? The birthright's supposed to be mine. Mom told me I'm supposed to have it. And so he just fools his brother and fools his father and lies. And he uses his own methods. Now he's doing pretty much what Grandpa Abraham did sometimes, and you know, using our own methods like Hagar and other issues, trying to get things done. And we're all guilty of that. We know it's a good thing, but we want to do it our own way. We want to help God out because God needs some help once in a while, and God doesn't need any help. That was Jacob. He's like us. And so he's laying there, and now he's left his mother, and he's kind of been a mama's boy, and he's left his mother. He'll never see her again. He's on the run. He's got to go meet people he doesn't even know, go wife shopping. And it says in verse 10, he went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. Took of the stones of that place and put them for pillows, lay down in that place to sleep. If I was making a movie of this, I'm sure Jacob was just maybe looking up at the stars, maybe thinking about the promises that God had given to Grandpa Abraham about the stars and his heritage and his lineage, and thinking about how's this all going to happen, and closes his eyes, and when he wakes up again, and when his eyes open again, he's in a dream. He's staring at this huge ladder that is set up on the earth, reaching all the way to heaven. Notice here that God is showing him something. God is showing Jacob something that he wanted him to see. God is showing Jacob the way. And, you know, we've got this tract here, and tonight I'm going to explain to you where this idea comes from. This tract is called The Bridge. It's one of my favorites. And you know why I like it? Because they used the cross to make the bridge. And God was showing Jacob the bridge. A ladder is a lot like a bridge, you know? And it connects from earth all the way to heaven. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so here, Jacob is resting. He's kind of on the run. He doesn't know if Esau is going to chase after him and kill him. And so he's just resting. And he kind of knows he's not right with the Lord. And all of a sudden, there's this ladder in his dream. Now, who is this ladder? This ladder is Jesus. The Bible tells us, and we'll see that a little bit later. But here's this ladder representing Jesus Christ set up from earth unto heaven. The access from man to God. The ladder represents Christ's cross, the top of which reaches heaven. You know, the Bible tells us that all of our ways never quite reach heaven. You know, they tried to build, even before Jacob's time, they tried to build that tower to reach heaven. I know that was only a few chapters. That was chapter 10, I think. So we're in chapter 28. That hasn't been that long ago. And Jacob probably heard about the tower. Probably even could take you to it and show it to you. And yet God is saying, Jacob, I've got a ladder that's better than the tower. And it goes from earth all the way to heaven. And that's the one you need. And years later, in Romans chapter 10, the Bible says that, well, let's just read it so I don't misquote it and so that we can look at all of it. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Hey, I think it was Kevin told me he just bought a new ladder. Was that you? And, you know, extension ladder, 10-foot ladder, you know, extension ladder goes 20 foot, goes whatever. We've got an extension ladder out in the shed, and it's made out of fiberglass. It's pretty good. You know what the most important part about the ladder is? I mean, there's a lot of important parts, but I'd say probably the most important part about the ladder is that the top reaches where you want to go. That's the most important part. And these people, these zealous Israelites in Romans chapter 10 that Paul's talking about is saying, you know, my brethren have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And they set up their self-righteous ladders. Have you ever done this? Have you ever set up a ladder and you got to get to the eave, to the fascia, And you want to, you're hoping the ladder, you know, at least a couple inches past the gutter of the fascia, and it drops low, you know. It's just not tall enough. You see these crazy people that put ladders on top of bobcat buckets and stuff? Don't do it. That's not how we raise our ladder. And that's what self-righteous people do. And we all fall short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter if our ladder is 20 foot. God's just out of range, 24. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest jumper in the world. You can't jump across the Grand Canyon. It doesn't matter how good you are. And a lot of people out there are pretty good, but their ladder's not quite going to reach. And that's what Paul's saying. They have a zeal for God, but they don't know. And they're too ignorant to understand. And they're too hard-headed and hard-hearted to understand. The ladder has to be Christ. And I don't know what was going through Jacob's mind, but God woke him up and said, I want to show you something. I'm going to show you how you get to me. It's not by your own ways. It's not by your deception and your own crafty ability. And I'll make this happen and I'll make that happen. That's what Jacob was doing. He was the supplanter. He was always making things happen and working things out for himself. And it's easy to do, and that's not the right way to do it. God says, I'm going to tell you something. There's a ladder, but you got to understand it's my ladder. And it's set up from earth to heaven. And all other men's ladders will fail. The Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only way. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says that he is the mediator between God and man. Jesus is the mediator. He is the bridge. He's the connection. Now, notice something else in Genesis 28. Verse 12, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. I was reading this today, and I realized something as I was reading some notes about this, and I thought, wow, that's really interesting. The Bible says that the angels of God are ministering spirits sent to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Did you know that God's angels are not out there ministering to just anybody? Do you know that God's angels minister to the saved? If you're saved, you have God's angels helping to minister to you and to minister for you. Listen, there are times when we get ourselves in a real situation. I remember C.T. Spear talking about when years ago when he and his family were riding down the road and they were headed to a certain place and they had pulling a trailer behind him and they were staying in that trailer, and so they're pulling their fifth wheel and they're headed down the road, and he got to where he's going. He stepped out of the car. He happened to look down at the tire, and there wasn't one lug nut on the wheel. Not one nut on the wheel. They had just come over some nasty passes and switchbacks. He said, I was just imagining God's angel hanging onto those lugs, going 65 miles an hour down the road. There are so many times that you and I don't know the angels of God minister. Here's the thing. They're only for the saved people. And the only access the angels have are on the what? On the ladder. See, if you don't have Christ, you don't have the angels. These people who have angels, they got fallen angels. These people that aren't saved. These people that are seeing these visions and stuff, oh, they got angels all right. But you know the Bible talks about fallen angels? Demons, devils? In 2 Corinthians 11, the Bible says that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. If you reject Jesus Christ, you might have angels, but they're not God's angels, they're Satan's angels, because God's angels access only one way, and that's through the ladder. That's through Jesus Christ. And so these people who have these apparitions and they have these angelic visions, I don't doubt that they do, but it's not Christ that is the mediator. I already quoted it to you, 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is who? Jesus. Not Mary. Not church. Not any other religion. It's Jesus and only Jesus. And there are other mediators with other angels, but they're false. The Bible warns us about the fallen angels. You can read about it in 2 Peter chapter 2, Jude 6, Revelation 12. We'll keep going, though, because what I love about this is that his angels minister upon the ladder. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. They minister through by access. They go across the bridge as well. Now, the angels are not what we get excited about. We don't worship the angels. We never say, oh, my angel really helped me. Because the angels are just minions for who? For God himself. Look at, again, Genesis 28. Look at verse 12. It says, at the end of verse 12, behold, angels of God ascending and descending on it, and behold, the Lord stood above it. So who's at the top of the ladder? That's the point, see? When you get to the other end of the bridge, when you get to the other end of the ladder, you're there, you're home. It's God who sends those angels to minister, and it's God that's at the end. That's the blessed part about it. It's the Lord. And so those angels are just sent by the Lord, and you and I have access to God through the ladder. I'm just going to use my imagination. I don't think it's wrong to do this as long as we don't change the Bible. But I just imagine that Jacob's laying there thinking to himself, if it was me, boy, am I a loser. Here I am, I got to leave home. I got to run away from home. Not like mom planned it. Not like I was planning on it. I mean, I just packed my suitcase in 5 minutes and I was out the door. How am I ever going to reach God? I'm a mess. And God says, I'll show you how. I got a ladder. That's the only way. You know, Drake was just saying that somebody was listening to Christian radio. What are you listening to that for? You know, I do think that there are people like that are wondering, why do you Christians do what you do? And the answer is, because we've got a ladder you don't have, and you need the ladder. You just need the same ladder. God doesn't make sense till you have a ladder. And everybody who's self-righteous trying to climb up with any other religion, that ladder is going to fall and crash, and they'll be destroyed. And so I believe Jacob believed and trusted. And of course, Jacob didn't understand all about Jesus Christ like you and I do from this point of view. But I believe that God was showing him some things that he began to believe. And notice here, he was moved. And God promised him land. He said, the land whereon you liest, I will give. And those of us who trust Jesus Christ, did you know you're going to inherit? Treg hasn't been saved long. Devin, Alex, Abby. We haven't been saved long, maybe some of us. I want to encourage you with something. The Bible says that the meek inherit the earth. You might look around and say, oh, I wish I could own that. Drive around, I wish I could have that. Whoa, that's a nice place. I saw a nice picture of a log house with a beautiful view and rock work, and wow. Listen, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, the meek shall inherit the earth. And listen, if you've got Jesus, you will inherit someday. It will be yours. It's hard for us to believe because it doesn't look like it right now. But you and I, the Bible tells us, the meek inherit the earth. Remember, when Noah's family believed God, they got on the ark. And when they got off the ark, you know how much real estate they owned? They owned it all. And the same for you and I. When Jesus comes back, those who are not his will be burned up and destroyed. And those who are his will inherit the earth. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. There's possessions that are promised through the ladder, through Jesus. There's protection that's promised as well. Look here. I am with thee. He says here in verse number 15, Genesis 28:15, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I am with thee and I'll keep thee. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1:12, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. How saved are you? If you're saved, how saved are you? I mean, what can you do to lose it? Hopefully your answer is nothing. If you can think of something you can do to lose your salvation, you didn't get the right one. If you're saved, you can't lose it. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Here's the best part. Guess who's holding on to the other end of the ladder? He is. He's hanging on. And he's keeping that which I've committed. And I'm trusting him. And my faith is in him and not in me. Pastor Matt is not going to heaven because Pastor Matt has done enough good stuff. That's not possible. And Pastor Matt is not going to lose his salvation because if I go and rob a bank tomorrow. No, Pastor Matt's salvation is all about God keeping it. And I might lose things that I fool around with and do things wrong and sin against God. And I might mess myself up and mess up a lot of future that I could have on earth. But I can't lose my salvation. It's his to keep for me. And God says, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to keep you. See, Jacob, you're so used to taking care of Jacob. And some of us are like that. We are so independent, we don't let God take care of us. And he said, I'm going to let you understand, I am the caregiver. You need to understand, I will keep you. And Jacob, we'll see, if you keep reading Genesis, he's still having a hard time believing that. He has a lot of his grandpa in him, a lot of us in him. And so he's struggling with this idea that God can keep. And so we like to hedge our bet, don't we? But the promise is you'll possess something eventually, and I'll protect you, and I'll be here. My presence will be with you. Also notice that in verse 15. I am with thee. And notice the end of verse 15. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I will not leave thee. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. I love this. Hebrews chapter 13. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If you're saved, you have God's presence with you where? Hey, I'm glad to see Devin here tonight. But you know what, Devin? If you're saved, you don't have to come here to find God. God's with you wherever you go. God's with each one of us wherever we go. But you know what's really neat about being here? We meet with other believers. And what did Jacob call that place? He called it Bethel. Have you ever seen any church signs, Bethel? There are church signs with Bethel. It's a popular name because Bethel means house of God. House of God. You remember way back in chapter 13, where Abram named a place Bethel, and he left Bethel and went down to Egypt and got himself in trouble and had to come back to Bethel. A lot of us get ourselves in trouble because we don't stay in the house of God. Glad to see you here tonight. But the habit of staying in the house of God. You know what Jacob should have done? He should have stayed where God was. He said, this pillar is God's house. Well, you should just stay there until he says what to do next. Caleb's going to move away from here in a couple months. As long as it's God's will, he'll be in God's house. But if he moves out of God's will, he won't be in God's house, no matter what house it is. God's presence is the most important thing. I have to have the presence of God with me. I don't care where it is that we go. I don't care what it is he calls me to do. I don't care how hard it is, as long as I know he's there. And you and I need to feel that. We need to have that understanding that that's the most important thing. This is the Lord's place. This is God's house. We sing that song, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. A lot of times we sing it, but it's not true. I hope it's true tonight, and I hope it's always true. And I hope you're always where God's house is, and you want to be there. It is church Sunday morning, you're there. Church Sunday night, you're there. Church Wednesday night, you're there. You just want to be where God's people are meeting, God's house. You'll get yourself out of a lot of trouble if you'll just stay where God's at. That makes sense, doesn't it? I just stay where God's at. You'll be all right. And then notice here is his attitude at the end of chapter 28. He woke out of his sleep. He was afraid. This is a dreadful place. It's the house of God. He took those stones, poured oil upon the top of it, verse 18, called the name of the place Bethel. Verse 20, Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. You know what? Don't put an if. You know, don't try to dare God or make a bet with God. But he did do this. He's in verse 22, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. You and I need to learn to set some stones. So when Jacob left the area, somebody else came by. Wow, somebody set up this rock. What did they do that for? Somebody's walking by. Huh. I wonder what they set that rock up for like that. What did they do that for? And they see this oil poured on it. Maybe he carved on the side of it. I don't know. God's house. You and I need to set up some stones. You and I need to have some testimony. In other words, I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I want to praise God. You know, there'd be nothing wrong with us just, Pastor, I just want to praise God for how good he is. Not because I won the lottery. In fact, my wheel fell off my car, but I want to praise God how good he is. I want to praise God. My doctor just told me I got this sickness, but I want to praise God because God's good. Whatever. We just need to learn to be grateful and thankful and praise the Lord and set up pillars so that other people are saying, hey, what are you doing that for? So that other people see our God. We should all have one of these with us all the time to give out. I'm married to somebody who always is talking to people. When we're together, I want you to read this. And on the back, there's a story about me in this website right here. You can read about it. And there's just always an opportunity to give these out and to share the gospel and to talk to people about the Lord and to share about him and set up your own pillar. Do you have a pillar? Do you have some kind of a pillar that you set up, something that other people can see? And then notice also at the end of verse 22, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now we know what that is. The tenth. We call it the tithe. And every week we pass the offering plate and we are expected to give our tithes and our offerings. Let me ask you a question. How much of the Lord, or how much of you does God want? How much of you does God want? You didn't say 10%, did you? But you know what? At this stage in Jacob's life, that's about all he was given. If you'll take care of me, I'll give the tenth. I'm going to see how you're going to do it, God. That's not the right attitude. He's got it backward, doesn't he? If, then I'll. No, it's I will, whether you do or not. And I think by the time you get to the end of Jacob's life, it wasn't 10%, it was 100%. Now, 10% is what we give of our offering, but God wants 100%. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. He's to have all of it, not just 10% of it. And we need to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I was just doing my taxes yesterday. That's why I lost more hair yesterday. No, I just have a very complicated whatever, you know. Anyway, I just was doing my taxes and I opened up the tax and I read it 2 months ago and I opened it up again. No way. I mean, Miss Wilma and I are giving records. And I sat down with the calculator and I took my income and I typed in income times 10%. Our giving records was way higher than our 10%. But then I realized my bills are paid. I have money in the bank. I was able to give more to the missions this year than before. God takes care of you. I'm not going to wait till if he takes care of me. He already has. Put him first. Trust him. Give him 100%. Put him first in your life. Let him do amazing things through you and then for you. Now, I want you to fast forward several centuries, hundreds of years, over 1,000 years to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, there was some neat things happening. John the Baptist, who had prepared the disciples for Jesus, Peter was being prepared, Andrew was being prepared, James and John were being prepared. Philip and Nathaniel were being prepared. There's 6 of 12 right there. According to Acts chapter 1, I believe that all 12 were being prepared, maybe Judas' exception, and were baptized by John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the beginning of all four of the Gospels. Important guy. God said, Jesus said, of all men born of women, no one is greater. And so John, earlier in the chapter, points to Jesus after he was baptized, on his baptism day, and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Next day, he says again, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he encourages his disciples to start following Jesus. And so Jesus gathers John's former disciples and starts to build the church. And in John chapter number 1, in verse 43, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was not known for great people. "Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Now I'm going to stop here. I'm going to use my imagination again, because it doesn't tell us. But I believe that earlier that day, Nathanael went and laid under a fig tree. Maybe he pulled a fig off the tree and ate it. But I think maybe that Nathanael was deep into thought. Jesus said Nathanael was a man in who was no guile. Guile is deception. Guile is, you know, car salesman. Guile. All right? Telemarketer. Guile. Guile is a deceiver. Can you think of anybody we've been talking about tonight that might have had some guile in him? I wonder, now who is Jacob to Nathanael? Great-great-grandpa Jacob. I just see Nathanael deep into thought, a pure-hearted man, not perfect, but a man who is honest, laying under the fig tree and saying, "God, I sure wish I could know you better. I sure wish I had better access to you. God, you showed a vision of a ladder that reached all the way to heaven to Jacob, my grandpa Jacob. And grandpa Jacob, he was kind of a scoundrel. I'd love to see that." About that time, Phillips comes up to him and says, "Hey, we found him." "What?" And they run to see Jesus. And Jesus, before Nathanael can say hello, Jesus says, "Ah, Nathanael, now there's an Israelite indeed, a true Israelite." You know, they're not all Israel which are of Israel, but this guy was a true Israel. He was a believer. "There's an Israelite indeed, a man in whom is no guile." And Nathanael says, "You know me?" Let's finish reading it. Nathanael saith unto him, verse 48, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Can you imagine? You know, when you're under that fig tree, wink, I saw you. And Nathanael says, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And then he said, and oh, by the way, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon me. Because I'm the ladder. I saw you under that fig tree thinking about the ladder. I want you to know I'm the ladder." That's the way the chapter ends. As far as I know, we hardly ever hear anything more about Nathanael. That's awesome. And you know what? That's the way the Lord is. He sees what you and I think. He sees our desires, our prayers, our heartfelt prayers. He sees it. He knows what's going on. He knows behind the scenes what we want, what we're desiring. And if our desires are his desires, he's going to grant those. I don't know why Devin called me this morning and said, "Pastor, man, I want to come on Sunday." I said, well, good. Why don't you come tonight? Oh, can I? Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe he heard I won $1 million and he wants some of it. I got bad news for you, Devin. It's a lie. I didn't win. But you know what, Devin? If you're seeking the Lord, he's got the answer. If you're looking for the right thing, he'll help you find it. He sees you under the fig tree. Sometimes we think, God doesn't see me. Oh, God sees you. God sees exactly where you are right now, or where you were today praying, or the other day praying, when you were fasting and praying. He sees it. He knows, and he says, hey, I saw that. And I want to answer your prayer. And he'll minister to us. God sees. God knows. And isn't it awesome that he's the ladder? He is the ladder. He's the bridge. So when I hand these out, I always think about that. He's the ladder. This isn't just a cute little thing. This is actually what God said. I'm the ladder. I'm the bridge. I can make it from earth all the way to heaven. Jesus is the only one that can go stretch from earth to heaven. He's the only one that has access to both points. And we come to God. And he said in John 14:6, he didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the only way. I am the ladder. I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. When I would go to Star Academy and the girls and the guys would say, well, what about the Native American ways? I would say, well, all I know is the Bible. I don't know the Native American ways, but I do know this. Jesus said he was the way. The way. And that's it. For every human being, he is the ladder, the way.